Welcome to Talking Agility, a podcast from Accenture. Your host is Elitsa Nacheva.
As we record this episode of Talking Agility, we're already partway into 2020. The future is here, some may say. We're already seeing massive shifts in the way we work and in the kind of work that we do. And as we have been exploring throughout these series, rapid change requires an agile response. My guest today will discuss the future of work, specifically Accenture's recent report named Workforce 2025, Financial Services Skills and Roles. We'll look at some of the big themes, how work will be changed by automation, augmentation by technology, and what that means for the bottom line. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Luis Diaz-Gutierrez to the podcast. Luis is a managing director with Accenture Consulting and a global lead for our future workforce practice. Luis joins me from Madrid today. Welcome to Talking Agility, Luis. It's a pleasure having you today.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Luis, let's start by telling our listeners a little bit about you and your work, please.
Okay. My work centers on helping organizations prepare for the future and helping people embrace change. When it comes to driving internal transformation, my focus is on the intersection of digital and talent, which is something that I really, really love because it requires looking into the future, analyzing trends, figuring out how the state of the art of technology, data, etc., is likely to evolve in the short term, in the midterm, in the long term, and how that, in turn, is likely to affect work as we know it. Sometimes it's a small impact. Sometimes it's a tidal wave of massive proportions. We are at a moment where it's more of the latter. So it's a fascinating to be doing this. At least the potential for disruption is enormous, and there is a true competitive advantage in being the first mover, the first company to fully realize the benefits of workforce transformation through smart technologies. So it's fascinating, as I said, and it's a great time to be working on the intersection of people and technology.
Amazing. That sounds indeed a very exciting space to be in and develop and help our clients in. We have defined enterprise agility as the ability to respond effectively with speed and stability to opportunities and disruption. So from a future workforce perspective, how prepared the financial services firms to make these important changes with their people and technologies to meet the future?
Well, it actually varies. Some organizations, they claim they're committed to enterprise agility, but their actions often contradict their words. For the most part, they're stuck in the ways of the past. They do some things here and there, but oftentimes these are experiments that are confined to isolated areas or isolated pockets within their organization with limited transformational impact. They buy agile coaches by the pound. They try to infuse a new way of working, which is hard to scale up because there are organizational roadblocks, because their processes are bureaucratic, because their talent management practices are not fit for purpose. So, I mean, it's more creating the illusion of change than actually affecting change. However, some companies are fully aware of the potential to be unlocked and are placing workforce transformation at the very core of their overall business and enterprise transformation. One of the clients that I work for on a regular basis is BBVA, and I think they're a very good example of a company that really puts workforce transformation at the core. BBVA, the listeners who don't know this, is one of the leading banks in Spain, and they're arguably a world leader in digital transformation. And they're doing a lot of really cool stuff in the people space because they fully understand that the transformation challenge is a people challenge. I think it's important for our listeners to understand BBVA's business strategy just to get a little bit of context. The way BBVA see themselves in the future is not as a bank, or rather not a bank in the traditional sense of the term, but rather a brand new living data-driven business where they continue to provide financial services, of course, but they do so in new ways, either as standalone services or as part of new value propositions, which are more sophisticated value propositions that they develop in conjunction with strategic partners in areas such as retail, auto, travel, or real estate. This allows them to continue to surprise and delight their existing customers, but also allows them to reach new customers thanks to this symbiosis with their partners. So in this particular context, BBVA are fully conscious that in order to achieve this vision, they need to become a different type of organization. They need to work in a completely different way. They need to reinvent the roles and become a project-based organization. They need to enable their workforce with new means of collaborating and interactive with one another and with their customers. They need to automate every task that can be automated to free up human capacity to drive value in new ways. They need to make a wealth of easy-to-digest data available to their employees in order to improve decision-making. So they really understand that their business challenge is an organizational challenge and is ultimately a people challenge.
Thank you for sharing this practical example with us. It's very useful actually to have something that exemplifies a good practice of workforce transformation. And this is also really resonating with an episode we had on Talking Agility in season one, when we spoke with the head of change management for the ING group, who was also resonated and communicated some of the same messages that you're sharing with us. So thank you very much for bringing that up for to our listeners. And when you work with clients, is there a quality or feature that you identify about the firms that are going to meet the 2025 opportunity successfully? And what does it take to do this well?
Okay, this may sound like a cliche or like an uninspired answer, but it all starts with leadership, culture, skilling, and talent. You can never go wrong with classics. If we stay on the BBVA example, and if we start with leadership, the mandate to transform comes from the very top. It's interesting. I mean, when you set foot in the bank, you feel that everything is different, and this comes from the top. Every leader across the BBVA organization, from the chief executive chairman and the CEO to the team leaders across every business and across every support function, genuinely believe that people transformation is a core part of the business transformation, and they actually walk the talk. This is not a happy coincidence. Leadership alignment has been a priority for BBVA from the start of their digital transformation. And the fact that the bank's current head of engineering, which is how they call their IT department, the fact that their head of engineering, as I said, is the former CHRO speaks volumes of how serious the people factor is in all of their transformation. Moving on to culture. Culture is also very key. For BBVA, agility is part of their culture, and agility is actually the name of the game. It is a mindset that reaches every corner of the organization, that's shared by every employee, regardless of whether they're an expert on Python, working on developing a new digital marketplace in their fancy headquarters in Madrid, or even if they're a teller in a rural branch in Mexico. I mean, the notion of agility is very important, and it has different connotations, but everyone is able to interpret what agile means for the role or for the function that they work with, and that's very important. Again, learning is a very important aspect. I think it can be said without a doubt that BBVA is a true learning organization. They're experimenting with new approaches to learning. For example, their IT workforce are encouraged and they're empowered to act as entrepreneurs of their own skilling and share their knowledge to help others learn. They get incentivized through a blockchain-based gamification program that awards credits or B tokens, as they're called within BBVA, based on the commitment to learn and share, that can be exchanged. All these B tokens can be exchanged for additional, more exclusive training. So it's actually very, very interesting, and learning actually pays in terms of your career, at BBVA. Then there's the element of talent. BBVA has been changing their talent mix for a while. They're doing this through a healthy combination of reskilling and the infusion of the next generation of professionals in hot areas such as cloud, data, customer experience, etc. This new talent comes from very diverse backgrounds, which includes the usual suspects, the STEM careers of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, but also humanities and the arts, which are increasingly important when it comes to designing meaningful customer and employee experiences. They're doing things that are different in the talent space as well. And all of this, I mean, this sort of lays the foundation for the type of organization that BBVA needs to become in order to achieve their business vision. And they're barely scratching the surface in terms of their workforce transformation, but their commitment to people is truly remarkable, and they're very way ahead of the curve in terms of their own transformation as compared to some of their peers. So they're doing different stuff that's very interesting and that's catching the attention of many players, both in the industry and in other sectors.
Brilliant. And I actually really like when you said that agility is the name of the game. And I'm really also glad that you mentioned these four elements, because they've been a recurring theme throughout season one and the few episodes that we have from season two. And also they form the core values of agility that we define as our TNO Enterprise Agility Work at Accenture. So to summarize for our listeners, leadership, culture, learning or new skilling, and the talent element, so reskilling or obtaining new talent, are the building blocks of workforce transformation, alongside, of course, the derivatives of these four elements. So thank you very much for the great summary of that. So on to my next question. What do you think are the opportunities for financial services firms in the next 4 to 5 years?
Right. We just published a paper, the Workforce 2025 point of view, where we took a step at quantifying the potential impact of workforce transformation for banks, insurance companies, and capital market companies. It's based on some research that we've conducted, and it's only for a specific market, as it centers in North America, but it's still very revealing, because not only does it provide an estimate for the business value of automation and augmentation in the financial services industry, which is estimated at up to $140 billion, but it also disproves some preconceived notions, right? Like the one that most of this value will come from efficiency gains through automation. I'm not saying that automation is not important. Automation will definitely play a role in the next wave of workforce transformation. And case in point, our research shows that 7 to 10% of the tasks in the financial services workforce could be automated by 2025. And that's quite a lot, actually. But probably not enough to bring about the bleak dystopic future where machines rise to take over the world, leaving everybody displaced and jobless and possibly at the mercy of the Terminators.
That's a very Matrix-related description.
I'm very much into science fiction, so I couldn't help the analogy. Now, automation is there, and it's going to cause some jobs to disappear, and some others to be reinvented. Now, as Accenture, we have an opportunity to drive this wave of automation, but there is another massive force at play here. That's a key revelation from the Workforce 2025 paper. Our research shows that 43 to 48% of jobs could be augmented by 2025. This means that the biggest impact in our clients' bottom line will likely be realized through an increase of in productivity due to augmentation in our skills, in our expertise, in our creativity. And that's where the bigger part of those $140 billion dollars will come from. And that's another huge area of focus for TNO going forward.
That is really interesting, and we'll actually feature this Workforce 2025 point of view into our research so that our listeners, if you're interested, can go and have a look and read some of the statistics. My next question is around kind of the roadblocks. What do you think are some roadblocks that company will face that they need to start thinking about addressing?
Well, we're seeing many of those in the conversations that we have with some of our clients, right? If the business case is so strong as the figures I just gave seem to suggest, and we're quite confident with our math, it stands to reason that companies should make it a top priority to take a top-down, cross-functional view of their enterprise and take a step at figuring ways to use intelligent technologies to reinvent those roles and those functions that offer the most potential for rapid and sustainable ROI. However, that's still not the case with many of our clients, where workforce transformation is an afterthought of technology change rather than a strategic value driver. Despite the size of this opportunity, most automation projects at banks, insurers, and capital marketers are still small scale and siloed in nature, and this often dilutes the full value capture. In terms of possible reasons for this, first, for some time now, we have had an intuitive notion, but no hard evidence, that there's a strong correlation between workforce transformation and business results, and no sense of urgency. The Workforce 2025 paper should help in this respect, and it should help spread the notion that workforce transformation is a business imperative because it affects the bottom line, and it affects the bottom line big time. Second, workforce transformation, as any people consideration in any transformation, is oftentimes regarded as HR's monkey, which in my opinion is a myopic view, as there is no way to transformation can be achieved without very active, very close collaboration between HR, the business, IT, organization, transformation. It's a choral effort which requires pulling a substantial amount of resources, money, ideas. HR alone usually lacks the vision, the internal credibility, and the budget to drive systemic change at this scale and of this nature. So there's no way HR can do this alone. Also, when it comes to intelligent technologies applied to reinventing work, the possibilities are so many. And the art of the possible is so vast, so different from the as-is, that many CHROs see it as Star Trek, and they fail to realize that this futuristic view of talent is no science fiction, but a reality, and that this transformation, like objects in mirrors, is actually closer than it appears.
Yes, indeed. Actually, 2025 is just around the corner, really. So how can firms make the investments and changes with agility and at scale in order to be ready in time?
Well, I guess the first order of business is to build a business case for workforce transformation, have as accurate an estimate as possible of the return on investment of automating and augmenting strategic roles within the organization. That would be the first step, in my opinion. Second, carefully plan your social strategy to secure the allies that you need in every area of the organization that matters. Start where the big transformation decisions are made. Sometimes it's the chief transformation officer or the chief digital officer. Sometimes it's IT. It varies from one organization to the other. But they need to see this first. And then you need to recruit HR, you need to recruit IT organization, the business leaders, everyone that needs to have a say in the transformation, you need to recruit them to the cause. Mm-hmm. Then you have to go knock on the CEO's door and make it your mission to have the opportunity discussed at the next board meeting. This is very important, but because this is CEO material and this is board material. This shouldn't be a problem. If you've done your homework and you've recruited your allies to your cause, you'll have the allies sitting at the board table when you present this opportunity, and it'll make it easy to green light this opportunity. And then once the workforce transformation gets green light and budget, the next thing to do is to collaborate across the organization, engage your allies in a co-creation exercise to reinvent the roles and functions in a way that's agile, that's sustainable, that's consistent with the values of the organization. I would refrain to replicating exactly what others are doing because, there's many elements that are specific to a particular organization that go into the definition of the different roles and the different functions. So you have to give this task a lot of love, right? Mm-hmm. You have to take the opportunity to use these co-creation sessions to share the vision, to make sure that everyone is on the same page, and also use the opportunity to share success when this workforce transformation starts yielding the results that you expected and you start realizing your business case. One final thought from my own personal point of view is very important. It will vary from one organization to another. It will vary depending on their culture, their values, etc. But I would advise when you embark on an opportunity such as this to be conscious of the impact that your decisions have on employment. When we talk about disruption, when we talk about augmentation, automation, etc., this disruption usually creates more opportunities than it destroys. But we can't ignore the fact that some jobs are going to be lost, and we can't ignore the social impact of our business decisions. So I would advise anyone embarking on this adventure to try and anticipate the loss of jobs and have the people affected new skilled so they continue to have a role in the future of the organization. It makes sense from a business perspective, and it's also the truly human thing to do, in my opinion.
Great. So these are some really great next steps. So thank you for sharing them, Luis. And so to be ready for your workforce transformation in time, if you're listening at the moment, you should consider a few things, which are just summarized below. So ensure the alignment across the organization, the relevant parties, build the business case, ensure the CEO is bought in, collaborate and share success, but don't replicate what others are doing. And finally, consider the impact of your decisions on your employment and the social impact it's going to have to your people. That was a fascinating conversation. Thank you so much for the really interesting pointers and lessons learned, the practical example with BBVA that you provided, referencing the 2025 research, that is all so useful, and we'll ensure that all of these resources are referenced afterwards in our blog post. So, I mean, thank you so much for taking the time, Luis. That was a really great conversation, and thanks for sharing your insights.
Thank you for having me today. It was a true pleasure.
Thank you. What an insightful conversation that was. In today's episode, we explore how organizations can prepare for the future and help their people embrace change through some practical guidance on approaching workforce transformation. My guest, Luis Diaz Gutierrez, provided some lessons learned and referenced the Workforce Transformation 2025 point of view, which is really interesting, and you can read it in Luis's blog. Thank you for listening, and I hope you tune in next time.